Radio.
It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're gonna try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Yeah, this is Swap Shop, and you're listening to it. You're listening to WWGH 107.1. Adam gave us the weather forecast and everything. Right now, the temperature is 66 degrees. The wind is blowing pretty briskly. I just looked outside, and the barometric pressure is dropping like a stone. So that's kind of foretells of the weather to come. We will probably get some rain. I looked on my phone that tells me all that stuff, and it says rain is about 90% sure by 4 o'clock this afternoon. Maybe I can get the front yard mowed. I don't know. My knee's gotten a lot better, so maybe I should get out there and do it, right? My neighbors would appreciate that. It's not that long, but it, you know, it's 4 inches long. That's four, maybe five at some places. So I better get that done. Hey, if you're interested in selling an item, we will be glad to try to sell it for you right here on Swap Shop. 740-383-9944 is the number to call if you have items that you want to sell. Now, we will sell anything for you, but except things like a house. So anything that you have to have registration for, that type of thing. Like a house, a car, a gun, a boat, that type of thing. We do not take those. And we'd prefer that you keep it to four items or less. What you do is you call us up and you say, "Hey, Glenn, I want to sell those water skis I've had for 25 years sitting in the garage. All you have to do is come to my house and you give the phone number of your home so they can call and find out where you live, then we sell it for you. You can give the price, so you don't have to give the price. You can negotiate on that phone call. So that's the number again. I'll give you the number again because I know I gave it real quickly. 740-383-9944. We had been talking about the military on today, Veterans Day, we will continue to do that. I've got several interesting facts about the military that I'm going to give you. By the way, we also encourage people to write us if you have something that you want to sell, but you're a little shy about getting on the radio. You can always send us a note or a flyer that you have if there's an event going on, or if you're having a yard sale, or you want to get rid of something but you don't want to talk on the radio. Send us a note to WWGH 523 South Prospect Avenue, or street, I'm not sure which one it is, but I think either one will get it here. 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. That's WWGH 523 South Prospect Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. And we have a couple still. The Marion County Park District is announcing that out at the Tallgrass Trail, they're tonight at 4 o'clock, or this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Boy, I hope the rain holds off for them. They're going to have a terrific turkey program, and that'll be at the trailhead out there at Tallgrass Trail, and you can come out and you can learn about turkeys, wild turkeys, not the ones that are frozen in your grocery store. Well, they were at one point semi-wild, right? Being put on by the Tallgrass Trail people, they're going to have on the 13th, 2 days from now, at 8 a.m., that's in the morning, 8 a.m., they're going to have a bird watching thing. They're going to start at the Epsyville Baptist Church, so you'll have to drive out that far, but they're going to do it on the Tallgrass Trail out that far away. So make sure you head on out. That ought to be interesting. Let's hope you have decent weather. Adam wants it to snow, but let's hope you have decent weather, all right? November Thanksgiving dinner is going to be provided by St. Paul's Lutheran Church down in Waldo, Ohio. That's at 135 West Main Street in Waldo, Ohio. That's going to be on November 23rd from 4:30 to 6:30. You drive by and they hand you they give you your meal. They give you your Thanksgiving meal. I think that's terrific. It's going to include turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy and all that sort of thing. So make sure you head that way. Hey, we got a phone call. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Is this Swap Shop?
You got it. You got it.
Okay. I have an older Gravely zero-turn mower. It's 34-inch cut, and it needs a lot of work done on it, and I am wanting to just give it to someone to have as a fixer-upper.
Oh, my goodness. Now, it's a what type of Gravely mower is it?
It's a Gravely zero-turn.
Zero-turn. What does that mean?
It means that you operate the handles to go the different sides. And it turns on a zero turn.
Oh, okay. It can go right around in a circle if you wanted it to.
Yeah.
All right.
And
it's righty.
They have to come pick it up.
Okay. Sure.
And I've got a number.
Okay.
Our number here.
Give me your number.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's 740.
Yep.
1479.
1479. It does need work, but somebody that's handy
does.
Could get it going, and boy, that would...
I can have it.
Yeah, there you go. Free of charge. I love it. Okay.
And if they can't reach me, just leave a message.
Leave a message, okay? Let me read this back to you.
Okay.
Hang on just 1 second. I got to finish writing the word message. you have an old Gravely zero-turn mower. I assume that's a riding mower, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I better put that in there. Of course, if you had a zero-turn non-riding mower, all non-riding mowers are zero-turn.
Yeah, it's an older Gravely, yeah.
Okay.
Zero-turn riding mower, yeah.
Okay, and your phone number is 740-389-1479, and it's free. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, let's get that going. What do you say?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let me read that back to y'all. You can't get a better deal than that, right? An old Gravely zero-turn riding lawnmower, free of charge. Free of charge. Now, you have to be a little handy, but I bet I know a lot of people that could probably fix it right up. 740-389-1479. If nobody answers, leave a message, okay? And then he'll get back with you. Free! I love free! Hey, by the way, don't forget to listen tonight, Scott's interview with Jim Ganault. Jim has given very few interviews, so this will be very special. His interview is going to be on 5 and 6 tonight, and then tomorrow, 2 and 3 o'clock. So tune in and find out about our weatherman. Maybe he's probably pulling his hair out right now, not quite sure whether it's supposed to be good weather or bad weather. But Jim Ganault is going to be on with Scott tonight, 5 and 6, and tomorrow, 2 and 3. So make sure you check that out. Hey, we were talking a little bit about, well, it's Veterans Day, right? So we're all thinking about the military, and we're celebrating the military. This is not Memorial Day. We're celebrating the military right now. And as a vet, I appreciate it. Thank you. The U.S. Military began to desegregate long before civilian institutions did. Schools and other public institutions were ordered to desegregate in 1954, but many didn't do anything until the 80s. But the Army, on the other hand, had the first desegregated troops in World War One. World War One. So they were way ahead of the game. World War One, what is that? 1917, 1916, 1918, somewhere around there. All right. Interesting fact. The first time women were allowed to enlist in a non-nursing role was during World War One. I did not know that. I thought it was during World War Two, but as a non-nursing role. The first women in the military worked in clerical roles and as in the Signal Corps as an operator. This allowed more men to take combat roles in 1948, President Harry Truman signed an anti-discrimination bill. This attempted to put an end to racial discrimination in the military, but also the discrimination against women joining the military. This bill allowed women to enlist in times of peace rather than just in times of war. Kind of interesting. Hey, oh, we got a phone call. I better get to the phone and see what we're doing here. Hang on. Got to find the right buttons. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, can't complain. Have you talked to James to see whether or not he's going to be able to join us next Thursday?
I left him a message, and I'm hoping he will respond to it.
Unfortunately,
I was a bad boy, and I didn't do that till yesterday. So.
Well, that's all right. He's got a week from, it's a week from today, so
yeah,
hopefully
right.
That'll work
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Well, hey, I got to thank you personally for the invite to the listening to the president's thing.
Oh.
That was phenomenal. I really enjoyed it.
That was going to be my next question.
Oh.
I enjoyed it, yeah.
And Scott did, too. We both were flabbergasted at how wonderful a ceremony it was. We did talk about the speakers and who was the better of the speakers, who was the worst.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
We did that
oh,
off
yeah.
the air, I think.
Oh, yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah, we can talk about that. It's always a lot of fun for me to put that together. I really enjoy working with the various reenactors that portray those characters. They do a pretty good job of researching their characters, and I tell them to try to stay in character as much as they can while they're at the table, but sometimes that's a little hard because people want to know about them personally.
Yeah.
And so I just tell them, well, if you're going to talk that way, you know, make sure you say, no, I'm going to step out of character, and here's who I am, and here's what I do or what I did. And
well, I was there sitting with Mrs. Harding.
Yes.
And Scott and I both agreed, Mr. Harding had to leave, so he couldn't be there, President Harding.
Right.
So, but Scott and I agreed that she was one of the highlights of the night.
Oh,
she
really?
Was
I,
very
I,
good.
Yeah. I, oh, anytime she speaks or does a presentation as Florence Harding, she does an excellent job.
She sure did.
She's been doing it for probably 30 or 35 years.
Oh, so she knows the subject.
She knows the character. And if you look at any photographs of Florence in those years when she was in the White House particularly, Jan bears a striking resemblance
oh, cool.
to her when she gets decked out in her outfit.
Yeah, she what a pleasant lady. I really enjoyed the night. I sat right next to her. We nudged each other occasionally when we thought somebody was said the wrong thing.
Yeah, that happens. That happens. I think, and again, like I told somebody after the dinner was over, they said, well, when do you start planning for next year? And I said, actually, the week after this, I'll be thinking about next year. In fact,
yeah.
I've already got a couple of people lined up to do next year. So.
I bet you do. You
and looking to do some new people. So
good.
Always try to keep the speakers fresh every year, try to get different speakers, try to get someone I haven't had for a long time to speak. So I've already got a couple of great ideas for next year, and I think it'll be just as good, if not better. We always try to shoot for a little bit better than we did the year
sure
before.
You do.
But,
sure you do. But, I tell you what, JFK, with his accent and his... He was right on.
Yeah,
oh,
he
my
was.
Goodness.
Yeah, he really was.
You could have closed your eyes and you thought you were listening to him.
Well, I was standing in the back of the room. I try trying to move around the room to see, make sure that the volume is okay.
I was watching you, yeah.
And when he was speaking about going to the moon, I have to tell you, Glenn, I actually got some chills.
Yeah.
Because it sounded so much like JFK.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was using portions of that speech.
Yeah, Scott and I thought there were portions of the speech that we had heard, yeah.
Yeah, he had worked Devin had worked some of his own in with portions of JFK's speech because I knew he knew that people of especially my generation and your generation, we would remember listening to JFK. And that's what he was most nervous about. He was so afraid that he was going to revert back to his FDR accent because there's a difference between Boston and New York.
Sure is.
But I thought he held on character very well.
He was super.
And thought he did an excellent job. But but again, I always encourage people, if they've never been before, to try to come to one because you won't regret it.
Yeah, it's well worth it.
Yeah. So, the other thing I wanted to mention, by the way, thank you for your service. I know you were part of the military at one point in time in your life.
3 years.
Also, I just wanted to mention, and a lot of your listeners will know this name, we just lost him a couple of months ago, Don Wilson, who was a naval aviator. I don't know whether you ever met Don or not.
No, I did not.
He was 97 years old, flew in TBM Avengers off a short aircraft carrier in the Pacific. Just an absolute great guy and a real American hero. And as I say, we lost him a few months ago, and actually right before my mother-in-law passed away, so right around the same time. So I did want to mention Don. And also, I would be very remiss if I didn't mention two of my uncles who served in World War II. They're both, of course, gone now. Lieutenant Frederick McKinley, who was my namesake, I am his namesake, who was killed in Europe after delivering bombs over Germany. So I never got to meet the man. And my Uncle Robert, who was a sergeant in the Army and was in the Engineering Corps and was on the beaches of Normandy before anybody else. So,
were you able to hear any of my show earlier?
I heard bits and pieces of it, yes. I forgot to turn the radio on this morning, quite frankly, and I turned it on when I went down to the store, and I got choked up listening to that story.
Oh, my goodness. It was the old, the World War, or the Normandy guy?
Yes.
It broke my heart. I was crying here.
Well, I tell you, I know the feeling. I've been a volunteer with the group that flies veterans to Washington before, and going to the World War II memorials is tough for me because of my uncle.
Yeah,
and it's just highly emotional. You just don't know. And when he was telling his story, I was thinking about the men from the Indianapolis that. If you don't know the story of the Indianapolis, or the people don't know it, they need to know the story of the Indianapolis. That was the ship that just delivered one of the bombs, the atomic bombs, and no one knew where it was because it was a secret mission, and they were shot. The ship was shot upon and was sinking, and when it sank, all the men went into the water with sharks.
Yes, I do remember stories about that.
Yeah.
And many of them were eaten by the sharks.
Practically all of them were. I think out of, I want to say like 400, 500 men that went in, there was only a couple of hundred that survived.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
So many stories from World War II that absolutely tear your heart out. And, of course, a lot from Vietnam and the Korean War as well. But
yeah, the first interview we did was a gentleman from Vietnam, and it also tugged at your heart. Now, I'm going to try to find some from guys from Korea and also from the Middle East here eventually. But
And, you know, even the Korean veterans are getting up in age. You know, we used to talk about how quickly we were losing veterans from World War II, and they're practically all gone now. And now the Korean veterans and the Vietnam War veterans are aging too.
I'm
in that same category, although I didn't serve, but I'm in that 70 age group, as are you. And a lot of those guys are not with us anymore. So,
and when you're in that group, you don't think we're aging.
No, you don't.
You think you're going to live forever,
although I tell you, the last couple of days, I think I could tell when rain's coming because my arthritis is really paining me.
You know, you and I talked about it last week, I think it was. My arthritis has gotten better in the last 3 days, so I'm happy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, mine's worse, and I think it's this rain that's coming tonight.
Yeah,
so.
We're getting it at 4 o'clock, so get
right,
ready.
Right, right. Well, listen, I just wanted to mention those things, and again, hopefully James will be able to join us next Thursday, so we can talk a lot about the Hocking Hills and Athens County and Hocking County and so forth.
As soon as I hear from him,
I was just down there on Monday.
Oh.
I was just down near Laurelville. In fact, I ate lunch in Laurelville.
I'll be darned.
That story when we get together next week.
Okay, super. I'll let you know as soon as I hear from James.
Okay, have a great show.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Fred Malone. Fred Malone is a great friend, and he does a great job with that dinner with the presidents. Oh my goodness, that was so well worth it. Anyway, you need to go next year. You need to go. Hey, don't forget to listen to Scott's interview with Jim Ganahl tonight, 5 and 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow it'll be rerun 2 and 3 o'clock. We've got some messages here. People want us to tell you about Thanksgiving dinner is going to be served. It's a drive-through thing. You just drive up and pick it up. It's going to be at St. Paul's Lutheran Church down in Waldo at 135 West Main Street. You head down that way. Be there by 4:30 or so. It will go from 4:30 to 6:30. You can pick up your Thanksgiving dinner. It includes turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, stuffing, veggies, rolls, pumpkin dessert, and bottled water to wash it all down with. Sounds like a great idea. So don't forget, that's Tuesday, November 23rd, 4:30 to 6:30 at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church down in Waldo. Head on down that way. Another one that was that we got was tonight at 4 o'clock. Let's hope they miss the rain. They're going to have a terrific turkey program down at the Tallgrass Trail, right there at the trailhead where the little building is. Head on down that way, and they're going to do a neat little, they're going to talk to you about wild turkeys, and it might be fun. And if I know James, he'll have some turkey feathers, or he might even have, well, I'm guessing he won't have a wild turkey, but I'll guarantee you he'll have something to show the kids that they'll be thrilled to see, all right? And also, on the 13th, they're going to do a morning watch, bird watching thing at 8 a.m. On the Tallgrass Trail, but it's going to be down by the Epsyville Baptist Church. So head on down there, park in the Baptist Church parking lot, I believe, and you'll find out about that program. They're going to go looking for birds early in the morning, so you're going to have to get up a little early, but it'll be fun for you, I'm sure. Also, we have a old Gravely zero-turn mower. I didn't know what a zero-turn mower is. You go around in circles, circle, circle. An old Gravely zero-turn mower. It's a riding mower. For free. Absolutely. And you're going to have to do some tender loving care on it. But it's free. Give the gentleman a call at 740-389-1479. If he doesn't answer, leave a message, okay? 740-389-1479. Now, if you have something you want to sell or give away or something you want to find even, give me a call at 740-383-9944. I've been looking for an RV for a long time. I need a 24 or smaller RV. Now, I know we can't sell those things, but I think, you know, I'm the guy that runs the show. Surely I can mention that I'm looking for one, right? Okay. All right. We're going to continue on with some of our interesting military facts. You're listening, by the way, to Swap Shop here on WWGH in Marion, Ohio. Now, this is something I had never even heard of. Only female Marines are authorized to carry umbrellas in uniform. Only females. So you get sopping wet as a male, but as a female, you can stay nice and dry. That sounds a little sexist to me. Anyway, that's the rule. Only female Marines are authorized to carry umbrellas in uniform. Before World War II, the Army's 45th Infantry Division wore a swastika on a patch on their left shoulder. Now, that was honoring Native Americans. And I told that to my wife, and she said, well, why did Native Americans why did they like swastikas? Well, the swastika was a sign of good luck in Native American cultures, and that's why the swastika was worn. But after World War One started, or after World War Two started, that swastika was taken off, and they just had the bird. I'm not sure whether it's an eagle or. But they had the bird symbol instead of the swastika. Okay. In the Navy, there are no windows, walls, or bathrooms. Now, being a former sailboat racer, I knew that we didn't have bathrooms. But I didn't know we didn't have windows or walls. But in the Navy, they have dictated that you don't mix it up by saying windows, walls, or bathrooms. They don't have walls. They have bulkheads. It's called a bulkhead. I wonder where that name came from. They don't have windows. They have portholes. Now, I did know that. And your left side, by the way, is your port side, and your right side is your starboard side. It's kind of interesting. The mess deck is where you eat and probably make a mess as well. But the mess deck is where you eat. The deck is, that's also the deck where you walk, apparently. Above your head is an overhead, not a ceiling or a roof. If you need a toilet, you go to find the head. The rack is where you sleep. I guess they wanted to confuse us all, right? Is that what it was? Maybe so. Anyway, we're talking, you know, today's Veterans Day. We're talking about, I hate to call it trivia, but that's kind of what it is, military facts and things. And we listened in my first 2 hours. We listened to two gentlemen. One was a Vietnam vet. It went 15-16 minutes. It was all about when he flew over to Vietnam, and he figured they were going to greet him with flowers and hugs and stuff like that, and he found out to his dismay that was not what was going to happen. It was a very interesting interview, and he did it very well. The interview he gave was very, very compelling. The second interview we did was a gentleman who had, he was one of those landing boat guys. I don't think he was the pilot, but he was the helper. He was the guy in charge of lowering the front gate. It was very heart-tugging. His discussion of all the carnage and the horrible deaths that he was unfortunately had to see. I hope you have time, and I hope you have a vet near you that you can pat him on the back and say thanks. My service was during Vietnam, but I served out of Washington, D.C., so I'm not the type of guy you need to pat on the back. You need to pat the guys on the back who actually did some of the, just about everybody that served, I guess. The oldest Coast Guard boat station is Sandy Hook, New Jersey. I was surprised. I didn't realize that. That's the oldest Coast Guard station. Hey, we've got another call. Let's go back to the phone and see what we have. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Glenn, I'm sorry to call you.
Nope, me. No problem.
One thing I forgot to mention, Sunday the 21st of November will be the last day for for the Heritage Hall Museum.
Okay.
So anyone that has not been or wants to go, Wednesday through Sunday of this week, and I think that will be, Wednesday through Sunday of this week, and then Wednesday through Sunday of next week, and then that'll be the end.
November 21st is the last
Sunday
day?
Sunday the 21st is the last day, right.
All right. I will make an announcement about that.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
Bye-bye, Fred.
Bye-bye now.
All right. You got the message already. Last day if you want to go down there. And, oh, by the way, those hours are, I got them here somewhere, and he just said them. let's see if I can find it here. I think they're Thursday through Sunday, 1 to 4, I believe is what I wrote down, but I can't find it. But if you have a question about that, give them a call at Heritage Hall. But the last day is November 21st for Heritage Hall, and it, I guess, is a terrific place to go and see. Fred keeps telling me he's going to give me and my wife a free tour of the place, but we just never seem to get together. You know how it is. You know, when you're old, you forget. All right. The temperature is actually still going up. It's 67 degrees, but the wind is making it feel a lot cooler. I wave my hand at the open window, but the window's not open. Somebody just drove by and honked. We love hearing that. That means we know people. We get that all the time. We know that people are listening to our station when they honk as they go by here at 523 Prospect Street, South Prospect Street. And by the way, you can send in stuff that you want us to repeat on Swap Shop to WWGH, Marion, Ohio, 523 South Prospect Street here in Marion, 43302. And we've had several people send us stuff, and we try to get it on. All right. What was I going to say? Okay. We're still talking about trivia stuff. Let me repeat this one. The gentleman that called in today, he has an old Gravely zero-turn riding mower that he's going to give away free. It's going to be free. All you have to do is give him a call, 740-389-1479. If he doesn't answer, just leave a message. He'll get back with you. But that's 740-389-1479. All right, continuing on with interesting facts about military here on Veterans Day. In 1947, then Air Force Captain Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier in his Bell X-1 rocket-powered aircraft. Now, I don't remember that, but being from down near West Virginia, I heard about it an awful lot when I was at Ohio University. The people of West Virginia are very proud of Chuck Yeager and that he did that. So, kind of an interesting fact. That was in 1947 we broke the sound barrier. Pretty amazing. The Coast Guard refers to a vessel. This is the Coast Guard now, not the Navy. The Coast Guard refers to a vessel as a cutter if it's over 65 feet long. And I knew about that only because I used to, like I said earlier, I used to race sailboats. And when we'd race from Chicago to Mackinac, which is 333 miles, usually takes somewhere between 2 and 5 days. If it takes 5 days, your wife automatically gets mad at you because you didn't get there fast enough. if it takes 2 days, you get mad at her because she hasn't driven up to pick you up because you're way too fast. We were always followed up from Chicago to Mackinac Island by a Coast Guard cutter that kind of was our, you know, babysitter. It took care of us. One year we got several vehicles were, or several boats were hit by lightning, And I think they kind of helped out with some of those boats were demasted. In other words, they didn't have any way. All of them have that race on the Chicago to Mackinac have motors. But if you're way out in the middle of Lake Michigan and you have to use your motor and you don't know how much gas you have, probably isn't a bad idea to have a cutter hanging around that can find a way to get you to land. This is kind of an interesting note that I came up with, and I'm going to read all of these because I was shocked at the different things that tattoos mean to Navy people. You know, if you ever see an old Navy guy, he's always got an anchor with, you know, maybe a snake around it or a line around it, something like that. But for hundreds of years, sailors tattooed themselves as souvenirs to commemorate their travels and their trials. And they actually developed meaning for these different tattoos. If you, excuse me, had to cough a little bit there, sorry. If you had swallows, you know the bird? If you had swallows tattooed on your arm, it denoted that you had gone 5,000 miles at sea. So if you had like three swallows on your left forearm, that meant you had traveled 15,000 miles at sea. Some of these men, I'm sure, would have a lot more than just three. I told my wife, if you had 10 swallows tattooed on your arm, you will have gone 50,000 miles at sea. But that would take a lot of your arm. Maybe they're little tiny swallows. I don't know. Compasses or nautical stars, which is kind of a compass type thing, is a note that you never lost your way. It denotes 10,000 miles at sea and you never were lost. The trident, you know, the three the three pointy thing, pitchfork type thing, the trident means you were in special warfare. The rose, if you have a rose tattooed, and now these are all for Navy people. I imagine it applies to people that were in the Coast Guard. But if you were a Navy guy or a Coast Guard guy, if you had a rose as a tattoo, it was significant that there were others left at home. And it was a way to remind you of that. The twin screws or, you know, the props, the propellers on one's backside propels one forward through life. Now, I don't know that I would ever want to have propellers on my backside. Matter of fact, the only person in my entire family that I know has a tattoo, I don't know about my daughter. I don't think she does. But my youngest son has a little tattoo on his shoulder and was so embarrassed that he wouldn't tell me he had it there for quite a while after he got it. It didn't bother me a bit, but it's a little tattoo, and I think it's his name, or it's nothing terrible. But anyway, if you have a rope on your as a part of your tattoo, it implies that you were a deckhand. So I would have had a rope. I was the guy that raised and lowered the spinnaker on the front of my racing sailboat. So I guess I would have had a rope if I had decided to get a tattoo. Octopus. If you have an octopus on your arm, you were a Navy diver, which I would imagine people that have octopus things on their arm are pretty proud of that. And being a Navy diver is kind of a special thing, I'm sure, for those gentlemen and ladies. I'm guessing there might be female Navy divers. I'm not sure of that, though. If you have a dolphin, tattooed on your arm, that helps ward off sharks. And like like Fred was talking about, was it, I forgot the name of the ship, the Texas? Anyway, the ship where all those men went overboard and were eaten by sharks, they probably didn't have dolphins tattooed on their arms, or the dolphins would have gone away. I mean, the sharks would have gone away. If you have a shark on your arm, you are a rescue swimmer. Ooh, I get to have a shark and a rope on my arm because I was a lifeguard. I guess. These are the tattoos that people, Navy specifically, and maybe Coast Guard people, use to signify something when they put it on their arm. The polar bear. That's a person that has sailed the Arctic Ocean. That's kind of cool. Hey, let me get back and tell you the things that we have to tell you. Don't forget to listen to tonight's broadcast of the interview Scott had with Jim Ganault. That'll be on at 5 and 6, or tomorrow, listen at 2 and 3, and you can listen to that. The Tallgrass Trail is going to have this afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock, right before it rains. They're going to have a program at the trailhead there. So apparently you'll be inside. They're going to do a thing on the Terrific Turkey program. Excuse me, I'm having to cough a little bit, and I'm not getting it taken care of. Okay. So at the Tallgrass Trail trailhead, they're going to have at 4 o'clock this afternoon a program about wild turkeys. That might be interesting for the kids to see. And then on the 13th, starting at 8 a.m., they're going to have a morning bird watching program. Now, they're going to start out at the Epsyville Baptist Church, so don't go to the trailhead. Drive out to the Epsyville Baptist Church. You can park in their parking lot, and that's where they're going to start the morning bird watching thing. There's a neat neighborhood supper, Thanksgiving dinner supper, going to be provided by St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Waldo, Ohio. That's 135 West Main Street, between the hours of 4:30 and 6:30 on Tuesday, November 23rd. Just head on down that way, and they'll plop it right in your car, so you can take it home, or I suppose you could eat in their parking lot. But, yeah, you'll get free dinner, and the dinner includes, you know, everything that you normally expect for a Thanksgiving dinner. It had turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, stuffing, veggies, rolls, pumpkin dessert, and bottled water. Okay, a gentleman called in. He's trying to get rid of a old Gravely zero-turn mower, riding mower. He's going to give it away. It's free of charge. All you have to do is go pick it up and call him at 740-389-1479. If he doesn't answer, leave a message, and he'll get back to you. Again, that number, 740-389-1479. Now, this message is about Heritage Hall, the Historical Society's museum area. The last day that Heritage Hall will be open is Sunday, November 21st. So if you haven't made it yet and you really want to get down there, you better make plans right now. All right? And we really appreciate you listening to Swap Shop. We're in our last minute, so we're just going to cut it off here, and maybe let's see if we've got anything else that's kind of fun to talk about. No, that's mean. That's not appropriate. I've got a lot of things here. Did you know that the Army has a special unit of skeptics? Graduates from Fort Leavenworth University of Foreign Military and Cultural Studies have been trained to play devil's advocates to avoid the pitfalls of groupthink. anytime the graduates of the program are called red teamers. There is, my wife hates it that I like to be a devil's advocate, but I guess my father made me that way. But that's what they do, and that's what their job is in the Army, as a special unit of skeptics. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in all day today. It is Veterans Day. It's going to get colder. Right now the temperature is 67. The wind's blowing out of the north, so it's going to get colder. And the barometric pressure has dropped even more since the last time I told you, so it's going to rain. Count on it. All right. Thanks a lot for listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio. I'm Glenn Coble. The show is Swap Shop. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH.